I may have the ultimate idea to reality for you today.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Okay. So have you ever thought about moving to another place, another country, like just like chucking the life you have right now, putting it on hold, but going and experiencing something completely different?
I never have, but my cousin actually was a professional kiteboarder in the Dominican Republic for like 10 years.
Of course he was.
Really?
She. Sorry, that was super stereotypical of me. Wow. That's really cool. That's another podcast for another day.
Right.
Today, I have the story of Summer Sanders. Now, you know Summer Sanders from the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. She won 4 Olympic medals as a swimmer at the Olympics, 2 gold, 1 silver, 1 bronze. She went on to life as a TV host. She worked on Inside Stuff. You might know her from Figure It Out on Nickelodeon.
Nope.
You don't remember Figure It Out?
I didn't have cable as a child.
The slime? Oh.
I also...
Okay, look it up on YouTube. She was awesome on that.
Don't think I was old enough to watch the Olympics in 92.
You didn't need to go there, Jeff. Didn't need to go there. Did you ever see Jerry Maguire?
The movie?
Yeah.
I never saw it, but I'm aware of it.
Wow. Okay. She played herself in the movie. She's a big deal, Jeff. Big Olympic celebrity.
I believe you.
And one of the nicest people I have met in 20 years of covering the Olympics. One of the most grounded, down-to-earth, mom-next-door type people I've ever met. And Summer and her husband, another Olympian, Eric Schlope, had this dream for years of moving their family, their 2 kids, from Park City, Utah, to another country and experiencing life, immersing themselves in a different culture. And this year, they pulled it off. Now, the backstory of how they actually did that is fascinating. Not easy to just move to another country across the ocean. So in this Dying to Ask, we're going to find out, how do you move yourself to another place for another year? How do you put your life on hold so you can come back and resume, you know, things regularly as scheduled?
Yeah.
And how is it that maybe that Olympic training, the discipline that you get as an athlete, really prepares you to do hard things that maybe you just dream about? And then ultimately, they become a reality. Here's Summer Sanders on Dying to Ask. Have you ever wondered, how did they do that? I'm talking about the art of the follow-through. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and Dying to Ask is the podcast that gets me off a TV news set and into candid conversations with authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers I have been dying to talk to. So brace yourself. This is a verbal gut check about what it takes to go from idea to reality. And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll get some answers to questions you've been dying to ask. Hola, Summer Sanders.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
¿Está bien, y tú?
Bien, muy bien, gracias.
All right, so we'll end right there with Spanish. Because I know you could go on.
El fin de español.
Thanks for joining us on the Dying to Ask podcast. I have been dying to talk to you since August when I saw on social media you kind of revealed that your family, and you only revealed it like 24 hours before you left, was leaving on this unbelievable adventure.
Yeah, and I don't know why I waited so long. I think, honestly, I just wanted to make sure that I had my visa in hand and that everything was ready to go and sealed up before I revealed to the world that I'd be leaving.
Is that the athlete in you? Because many athletes are superstitious about things.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the preparation.
I don't think it's not the athlete, because I was not superstitious as an athlete. I really didn't want anything... knock on wood, everything was kind of rolling along. We were doing really well. And I also knew how precious these moments were and how unsure I was as to the process, right? And I know we're going to talk more about the visa process, but along the way, there were a lot of shocking moments and revelations that I was like, oh my God, I didn't know I needed that. And I needed it like yesterday. And am I going to get my visa? So I was sweating out a lot of details. And I just wanted to make sure that I had everything ready to go. So I literally, you're right, I sent it out like the day before I was to leave. My friends obviously knew I was leaving. Our families knew we were leaving, but a lot of the world had no idea.
I read it. I'm like, oh, best adventure ever. But the adventure did not happen overnight. And you and your husband, yeah, Eric Schlope, had talked about this for years.
I think it actually stems from all of our travel, because he was on the U.S. ski team. I was on the U.S. swim team. We were really lucky in that we got to travel the world at a very young age. I mean, I remember writing a report for 8th grade on Estonia, because I'd gone to an international trip to Estonia in the 80s before the wall came down. So it was like amazing and odd and weird and strange and scary. And my report was all about that. At that time, I thought it was really cool. I had no real concept of how lucky I was to get that experience and that education through travel. So yes, in the beginning, it was all about New Zealand. It was that our kids really needed to experience New Zealand, the people, the culture.
Why in the beginning was it New Zealand?
My husband has spent so much time in New Zealand. I did a little bit for swimming, but once I started dating him, we would go there every August for his ski team camp. And it was just the way people lived there. And if anybody's gone to New Zealand and you've gone out to dinner with friends, you get a sense of like a different way of life, a different outlook on life, daily living. And we thought, oh, our kids should maybe experience that. And we wanted to. It was more a selfish thing. Like, I want to be there for a second and experience a different culture and how they see the world and what they see as important. And then bring that back into my world in the United States and live a life possibly differently than I would have if I hadn't lived there. So that was our first plan, right? New Zealand, kind of fun, get to ski still an English-speaking language. But then our kids entered into our public school, this program called Dual Immersion, where half of their day was English content and half of their day was Spanish content. And they started that in kindergarten.
And so home base for you guys is Park City, Utah.
Park City, Utah. Yes. So, so it was just, it's public school. We have an amazing curriculum and all of our teachers and the staff are unbelievable. And we knew it was going to be awesome for them. I sort of left it up to chance. We entered them into the lottery, and if they got in, they got in. If they didn't, then it wasn't meant to be. But once they did, I really was appreciative of the opportunity for them to get to speak another language. It's something I had wanted to do. And I mean, I went to Oakmont High School and I took 2 years of Spanish there, and it was awesome, but I didn't take it seriously. Right. You know, it wasn't like in Spanish class to really learn how to speak Spanish. So anyway, my daughter had just finished her sixth grade year before we left. So she's in seventh grade right now. And in discovering where we wanted to be, I think it was probably around second grade or third grade for her. And we were like, you know, if they want to be fluent, if we want them to be fluent, we're probably going to have to be boots on the ground in a country that speaks Spanish. So then we went through all the Spanish speaking countries, which if you look it up, there is a lot of the world that's speaking Spanish. Okay. So we were like, well, Spain is the closest to weekend getaways, right? Other adventures within the adventure. And
well, let's be honest, Spain has been good to you in the past.
Well, and it didn't hurt, right? That something special happened here in 1992.
Indeed it did. Which,
believe it or not, we have not been to Barcelona yet. It's on our list. The kids have not been there. So that'll be a fun trip when we decide to go back there.
So you settle on Spain, and what do you do once you decide on the location? That's big in itself. But then how did you even know where to start? Because you can't just pick up and decide to go live in another country.
Yeah, right? And a lot of people don't get that. They don't know that. I mean, it's not like I was super educated on that fact either. Why wouldn't everybody want us? We're good people. We just want to live there and spend money and soak up your culture and be really positive. But you do have to go through the process, especially if you want to be someplace longer than 90 days. And then even furthermore, I believe it's like even longer than 180 days, because 180 days, I believe, is a student visa.
Okay.
So if you want to be there for a whole year, you have to apply for a residence visa. And then even more specifically, possibly just for Spain, but I would imagine it's for a lot of the EU, for the European Union, a non-working residence visa. So it's very important and was very important to Spain that we just wanted to come here to live and not take any of their jobs, which I can appreciate.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So the process is long, probably longer than this podcast. but we started probably a year out from departure date. We contacted a lawyer to help us really understand what it was saying on the website. But now, knowing what I know, and I'm going to write it all up for people. So if you want to do it in the future, I will eventually have something for you to concrete take with you. But the website is pretty specific with what you need. And there's a ton. I mean, you need, and it's not just what you need, but then the layers of what you need. So you need your last 3 months of financials, but then you need them translated by an official translator on their official translator list.
Wow.
Which in the United States is only about 13 people. Oh. And you need copies of everything. You need things apostled by The Hague. I don't know if you know what that is.
I have no idea what that is. Jeff?
Nope.
Right?
Nope. Or who that is.
So let's just say this. You're lucky that you live in Sacramento. And I'm lucky that I lived right 25 minutes from Salt Lake City. But you have to go to your assistant, your lieutenant governor's office, physically hand them a piece of paper, like your birth certificate or marriage license or whatever. And then they give you this formal document that's been apostled by The Hague. It's got the apostle of The Hague on it.
It sounds incredibly impressive and suitable for framing.
That might get me the final answer on Jeopardy. It might.
So, yes. So there's that. There's figuring out the paperwork just to get into Spain. But how did you figure out, like, what do you do with your car in Utah? What do you do with your house? How did you figure out even the finances of being away from your life for a year?
I know. Eric and I took that very seriously because we didn't want, and I certainly don't want people to think that, you know, we just are made of money and we're over here with, you know, without a care in the world. We have a serious budget while we're here and we rented out our house, which is kind of scary and inconvenient in a way. And also a tiny bit of invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we decided that we needed to let go of the things, the tangible, physical, just things that we have and be comfortable letting somebody else in there living with our things. And then we would move into somebody else's things, you know. It has been a great lesson for us. So we rented our house. Our house is rented by a family that we actually know, which was convenient and awesome. Our car is being used by our cousin back home. My amazing, wonderful, and this was the hardest part, but my amazing, wonderful, awesome friend is taking care of our two dogs. Oh. And I know. And then we have our fish, our gecko, and our hamster all being taken care of by other people. And my daughter's horse is being leased to this wonderful woman that rides at the barn where she rides. So I'm not kidding you. Like, the stars sort of aligned, but this certainly was not a journey that I could just wait until, you know, a month before I was leaving to figure everything out. This is like, if you want to do this, start thinking now and start figuring things out for 3, 2, maybe even just 1 year in advance, but give yourself plenty of time.
I think I'm just going to wait till you write the book on how to do it, and then I'm just going to follow it page by page. All right, so clearly you got it all together. You were able to get everything together to be able to make the trip. Your family is in Spain. When we come back, I'm kind of curious to know what day-to-day life is like there for an American family living in Spain, and I'm curious to know, what stuff do you miss from the good old USA? Jeff, did you know that KCRA3's Leticia Ordaz likes musicals?
I did not know that.
You know how I knew that?
How do you know that?
KCRA app, what? News team bios. It's one of the fun features you'll find on the app in addition to your news, your weather. I know you love the weather.
Weather's very important.
Super important to Jeff. He needs to know what to wear in the morning. Sartorial splendor, that is his thing. KCRA app, it is free. It's like having KCRA in your pocket. And if you enable those push notifications, you find out breaking news as we know it.
That sounds great.
Well, go get it.
I will.
Summer, my friend Brent has been living in Berlin, Germany for the last 15 years. And anytime someone from this country goes to visit him, he has two requests. One is bring peanut butter, and the other one is instant oatmeal. Two super random things, but apparently tough to get when you're living in Europe.
Okay, I'm going to be real honest with you. I went back for that little surprise visit to LA last weekend. I just got back a couple days ago. And I knew I was going to be bringing things back with me, but I didn't know that I needed an entire suitcase just to bring those back. So my
best friend.
Okay. So I borrowed a suitcase from my awesome best friend's mom, and it's like a throwaway suitcase. It included two giant things of peanut butter. So I'm with him on that. They do sell peanut butter here. It's just not quite the same. I had two boxes of emergency. And then I had vitamin C. Shockingly, vitamin C is expensive here. I don't know why, but,
interesting.
And I believe in vitamin C. I love vitamin C. So, let's see, I brought back a giant thing of real maple syrup because Eric did spend half of his life in Vermont and just won't do the fake syrup. It's just not a part of his dietary wishes. So I have a big thing of maple syrup. I stopped at Target. I got the strangest thing I brought back. In Spanish, they're called fichas, but they're note cards. Little, what you study on?
Index cards.
Index cards. That's exactly it. So index cards. Because he and I are studying so much Spanish, and we will take our note cards with our words and stuff, and we'll go to a little cafe and have a copa de vino, and we'll study our Spanish cards while we're sitting there.
Oh, my God.
So, but the things I miss, I'll have to think about that. I mean, I miss our bed. I miss our – if I take my friends, my family, and my animals out of it, I really do miss like the smell of coffee brewing in the morning. Here, everybody has those Nespresso machines. Right. So you don't necessarily have that smell of coffee. The crock pot is an amazing invention in the United States. And when you're a busy mom, which I still am here in Spain, it's fun to just get your meal ready to go at 9 a.m. I did buy one, but it's tiny.
Right.
And I've used it once and I felt like the machine might blow up. It smelled like something was cooking besides my food. I will use it again. But it's tiny because, you know, it's a different size of meal.
Right,
over here.
Right. So let's talk about the town that you guys ended up settling in and how you picked it.
Santander, and many people have heard of San Sebastian. Also, many people have heard of Bilbao, and that's Bilbao is home of a Guggenheim Museum. It's amazing, by the way. Both those cities are in the Basque region, and that's northern Spain, but the eastern part of northern Spain. We are about an hour west of Bilbao, and so it's along the northern coast, and it's very similar to the Bay Area. It's like the Pacific Northwest. The water is the Atlantic, so it's a cold Atlantic. So we wear our wetsuits when we're surfing, which helped me with my melanoma. So I just didn't even have to worry about sunscreen when I was out there. But we are a very winter family. So they think it's very cold and we think it's just fantastic fall right. all year round. It's like my favorite season all year round.
I was surprised to find out you're such a big surfing family. I mean, you mentioned, you know, your husband grew up in Western New York. You grew up out here following a black line for most of your life. Where did the surfing come in?
I'm not a good surfer. My husband is because, you know, skiers are just good at any kind of balance thing. But I have such a strong desire to be better. I dream of it every single day. And, you know, it's a very fun family sport. We love skiing as a family, and now we love surfing as a family. We sit out there on our surfboards, and you have great conversation and waiting for your waves. And then when it's an awesome surfing day and everybody's stoked and they're catching waves, as a family, it's an unbelievable experience.
So what's the experience been like for the kids? You obviously had to find them a school once they got there. Tell us a little bit about what school is like there.
No, I had to find a school before we got here.
Oh, before?
Yes. So this is another one of those, what a coincidence, or as they'd say here, que casualidad, casualidad. Can't even say the word.
Oh, I bet it's on an index card, though.
I didn't even make it because we already memorized it, even though I can't say it. Que casualidad. Que casualidad. So it's a friend of a friend. I have this friend back in Park City. I had mentioned, oh, hey, we're going to live in Santander. They then said, oh, I have a friend from Uruguay who's lived in Santander for 10 years. And then we met. And thank goodness I met her. Her name is Maria, and she lives here. Because if I didn't have her, I wouldn't know how to get into schools. I wouldn't know what school to get into or how it worked. As I said before, very few people really, really speak English here. Most people prefer to speak Spanish, which is part of the reason why we chose it. We want to show up in a restaurant and struggle through our Spanish as opposed to just falling back on English. Mm-hmm. So it was great. We got them into a cute school called Jardín de África. It's a concerto because we have to pay a little bit each month. It's not necessarily fully public, and they consider it a bilingual school. Although the kids, whenever they do their English, they're then pulled out for Castellano Spanish. So, here's the deal. Let's just I said this when I first hopped on this call. This is how small the world is. When we first got here, we were with Maria and her two sons. And the first exchange that her boys had with my son was, do you play Fortnite?
No.
See? Yeah. It's amazing. So the world is quite small.
It is.
10 years old. Mm. And they both the kids.
And the entire world is flossing, which is good to know.
Yeah. It's funny because the kids are doing this thing called soccerista. It's swimming, but it's basically junior lifeguard. A lifeguard is a soccerista. But right now they're just in the pool and they're just swimming. And I was watching them from up above because it's a part of a gym. And I was watching Spider teaching his team how to floss. Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm
I
like,
love
oh,
it.
There it is.
Were the kids on board? I mean, I remember when I was your daughter's age, my family moved from New York to Ireland, which is where my parents are from. And at the time, my parents, they were moving back home. And so the idea was we were all moving back and that was it. And after a year, it was during the recession in the 80s, financially it ended up being a disastrous thing for my family. And we ended up moving back over to the U.S. and that's how my family ended up in Texas after that. But I will tell you that 1 year of living overseas is the year I remember most clearly from my childhood, and it was the most transformative year in terms of the type of person that I am, because I was put into sometimes uncomfortable positions just being different in a different place. And I'm wondering, like, were the kids excited about it because mom and dad had talked about it for years, or did there take a was there a little bit of like wrestling that went on there?
With my daughter, who's 12, who just popped into the room here for a second, she's gone again. she was really excited. That like awesome nervous excitement that's super healthy and fun, sort of like you know, I don't know, the adventure of going on a trip someplace, or, you know, walking in Disneyland for the first time, or before you hop on your first roller coaster, excited but nervous. My son was defiant. I think he really tried to tell us he didn't want to go. And then we just sort of held our ground and said, you got to trust us. We would never put you in a situation that would hurt you or be harmful. I can guarantee you it's going to be uncomfortable. And I tried to explain to him, I'm going to be uncomfortable. Like, I don't even know what half the fish is that I'm looking at in the supermarket. And I know they're looking at me because they have eyeballs. Like, what am I doing? You know, I'll be uncomfortable, but we'll get through it. And like you said, that was part of the goal of this whole year, is this perfect, uncomfortable, imperfect life. And we really wanted to do it because of our daughter. I wanted her to, you know, to enter and to be a part of middle school and junior high with this perspective that was different, so that if things did get rough or uncomfortable, it wouldn't be unfamiliar to her. And that was my hope. And so, you know, life is different here. And some of the girls are exactly the same as middle schoolers back in the States. But, the thing I have noticed is how close and how tight we are. And possibly that's similar to your experience,
yeah,
too, that you really come together and it's a whole new sense of the word family.
It must be interesting to spend that much time together, too.
Yeah,
when maybe you can't go talk to other people because they won't understand what you're saying. I mean, it's kind of like forced together time, which sometimes is the best time.
Yes. And I think we've gotten to the point now where it's so normal to be together that when I popped over to Los Angeles that one time, I mean, just a couple of days ago, and I left the kids, I left in a cab from Toledo to the airport in Madrid. And when I walked downstairs and I got in the cab, I just had this odd, like full body feeling that I was forgetting something. And it's that like, oh my God, I shouldn't be traveling without the family. Where are my people? And I was talking to my husband about it, and he sort of didn't get it. And so then I went on the trip and I came back, and he just left today for a trip to Mallorca, a biking trip with his buddy, who's also spending a little time in Spain. And he texted me from the airplane saying, I have that same feeling that you had. It's like this, like, and he had tears in his eyes. And I was like, it's real. And it's part of the beauty of this whole experience that, again, it's an unexpected gift of realizing how close we've become. Because imagine if we never left each other the whole year abroad, I'm not sure if we would have like tangibly felt how close we were becoming as a family. And so we each had that moment within the last week.
What a great time in your life to be able to hit a reset button like that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What's a typical day like these days? What are the very Spanish things that you're enjoying? And also maybe being amazed by, like, is this really happening?
I know. I think the one thing I love the most is just their love of La Comida. And La Comida.
We're on board.
See, so La Comida is almuerzo. It's lunch. I mean, it has the best word ever. It's just called the food. And it's your lunch. And they love it. And they celebrate it. And you experience it. But also, like, I have, people that work in our building. And if I'm not eating lunch, or if we're picking up our kids at like 2:40, and if they have, where's La Comida? How come you're not enjoying La Comida? They're very concerned for us that we're not a part of the La Comida. So I do love the lunching that goes on here. And I do feel that the siesta is a very real desire here. It is a pull to nap after La Comida. I totally understand it. I have resisted for the most part, but I get it. Spain is awesome. I've seen so many grandparents taking care of their grandkids. Today I saw this awesome grandpa walking a baby in a stroller on the street. And you see that everywhere. You see the older generation taking care of the youngest generation while the middle generation is working. It's super common. But you also see like all three generations taking care of one another. When we got here and it was summertime, on the beach, we would see four generations together, like four, a little toddler with the next generation woman, and the great grandmother. And they were all really helping one another in the water. It was amazing. It was beautiful, beautiful.
Gosh, incredible memories you guys are making. Just amazing.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, okay, I want to talk to you about your daily run, because you post pictures on Instagram of where you are, and each day it's somewhere better than the last. So as we sweat it out here in Northern California, I'm enjoying following the adventure and where you're taking your workouts. We'll talk about that right after this. It takes a special kind of person to do morning news, don't you think?
I think so.
And by special, I mean not right.
Yeah, there's definitely something crazy about all of us.
All of us. We love getting up in the middle of the night. We love starting the day really early. The news goes on at 4 a.m. now, 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. 5 hours of news.
That's a long time.
That is a very long time. You know how much time that is? 300 minutes.
That's a lot of minutes.
18,000 seconds.
That's a lot of seconds.
That's a lot of seconds. It's a lot of information.
Gonna start singing Rent right now?
I might. That is where I got the idea. That's a lot of news. That's a lot of weather. That's a lot of traffic. It's a lot of fun.
At 4 in the morning.
And it all starts in the middle of the night. Join us. So one of my favorite things following you on social media these days is to see where you're running each day. Because people know you as a swimmer from back in the day. But what they might not know is you're actually a really awesome runner as well.
You know me as a runner.
I do.
I
met you when we were in our 20s. And I primarily know you throwing on the shorts and going out for a run.
Yep. And it's because that's exactly what I did. The moment I stopped swimming, I put on my running shoes. And I love it, as you know, because you can have a conversation and you get to see where you are and you get to feel your sweat, which is so different than being in the swim pool. But yes, it's great running country here. And a lot of people run, which was another reason why we moved here. Strangely enough, if we went to a city and I didn't see people out exercising, and my husband's the same way, we were both like, I don't know if this is our town. You know, we needed to see action, some exercising going on. I've already competed in one race out here that I just stumbled upon. It was the Santander Media Marathon.
Did you win it, Summer?
No, God, no. It was, and I was hating it too. It was very difficult, but it was funny. My son was, they were out on their scooters and finding me and cheering for me. And Spider came scootering alongside me and he's like, Mom, you are going to feel so accomplished when you get done. This will be your first half marathon in Spain. You will feel so accomplished. I just looked at him. I'm like, are you really 10?
I love it.
And
it's nice to know they listen, though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's really cool.
So, yes. So I love my running. And we've got I've got tons of trail runs. I'm sort of pointing off. So if I go west of me, there are tons of trails that just sort of follow the coastline. And the coastline here sort of looks like a beautiful cross between Half Moon Bay and the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland, yeah. since you're speaking of Ireland. It's incredibly green. We have ridiculously large slugs, like oddly and prehistoric-sized slugs that have no shell. It's like, what is that? And anyway, they're everywhere. But you get to follow the coastline, and it's gorgeous. And then, you know, so many runners are out there. We have bike lanes, so we just run in the bike lanes. And, you know, there's sort of just like a runner code of ethics, and you know where you can run with the bikers, and we kind of just share the world together. It's great.
I love it. Are you, I mean, do you have any plans of taking this experience and turning it into something? Like, I look and I go, it's such a book. It's such a TED Talk. It's such, there's so much that you are learning that I think so many of us think about. Like, wouldn't it be great to take a year off from your life and throw yourself into something completely different? But I could never do that. Do you think yeah. about turning this into something bigger that maybe other people can then learn from and maybe even use it as almost like a manifesto to make it happen?
I do. I hope so. I mean, I've been writing everything down. I've started chapters. I've made sure to write it down so that I don't forget it. Because as you know, life gets crazy and you think you're going to remember these hilarious things or this moment you should write about. And then time goes by and you forget it. I'm very conscious of remembering it all and writing it down for that reason. And frankly, for our reason, like even if it doesn't make it to a book, if people don't want it, I want it for myself. I don't want to forget a single moment. I'm so grateful for this experience. And the funny thing is I know a lot of people say they can't do it. And I get that. I honor that. I recognize that you're knee deep in your profession. You can't leave right now. And I just want to say we couldn't either. You know, it's not like, it's not like we didn't have responsibility and we didn't have, yes, we're much more flexible with our work and what we could do. And we planned for this 11 years out. So we saved and we made sure, but you'd be surprised. If you plan it correctly, if you rent out your house, the cost of living and where you choose might be a surprise to you and it might be easier than you think. And frankly, employees might be, more receptive to the idea. So I guess my employers, sorry, might be more receptive to the idea. I that comment of we can't do this, I get it. It's a natural instinct reaction, but we really have to remember not to be too cheesy. You really do control your own destiny. You get to make your own decisions. And for Eric and I this was such an important adventure for us. If we didn't follow through on this, it would be the only thing in life we would regret. We knew it. So as inconvenient and, you know, difficult as it was, we knew we had to follow through with it.
Do you think it will be hard to come back at all?
No. I mean, yes, there'll be some adjusting to not being around each other all the time, to getting back into our jobs and our daily life, for the kids to get back into school and reconnect with their friends and all that kind of stuff. Yes, absolutely. It will be difficult. Will it be difficult to come back to the U.S. because maybe we're not ready to come back to the U.S.? I love the United States. I will jump back into U.S. and I will appreciate everything that the U.S. has to offer and our life in the U.S. So people have said, oh, you're going to be gone longer than a year. And I'm like, we're not. This is just 1 year. This is what we have. For those reasons that I said before, that people often say they can't leave. We have responsibilities, you know, we are working individuals and we recognize we still have some working to do. So we have to get back to our normal jobs. But yes, we have to enjoy and soak up every moment of now. And that's why I do hope there's a book in it in the end.
I'll buy your first copy. I'll tell you that. I think it's, I love what you're doing. For people who want to keep up with your adventures, what's a good way to keep track of you on social media? What are your favorite places and where can we follow your blog?
Instagram, SummerSanders_. Somebody already had the other one.
No. How rude.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. I was a bit late to the game. I mean, come on.
You 46. And me both.
But anyway, SummerSanders_ on Twitter, and then I have a website. My blog is on SummerSanders.co, because again, the other one is taken. So SummerSanders.co, and my blog is on there. I'm sort of revamping things right now and getting it all together, and really, honestly, taking this year to like discover myself creatively, to give myself a break, but also allow myself to figure out the next stage of life along with enjoying the adventure.
Well, you're in a wonderful place, and I'm sure your surfing is getting as good as your Spanish is.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know. All right, we might have to check back with you before the year is out. Summer, thank
you.
That'd
be fun.
So much. So great
thank
to
you.
Catch up with you, and I hope the adventure continues to be just as awesome.
Thank you.
Now, if you remember back to the beginning of this podcast, you remember that young Jeff was perhaps not old enough to watch Summer in the 92 Olympics. I'm not hanging on to that at all.
I look older than I am. It's the beard.
Oh, is that what we're going to say? Okay. Now, be that as it may, it's kind of cool to see what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I thought it was super interesting just to hear about their daily lifestyle, running and learning all the etiquette of running in another country. Like, is it super different? I don't know. And yeah. I kind of wanted to ask her about, we didn't run out of time, but I wanted to ask her about surf culture in Spain. Because I grew up in a surf culture in my hometown. And if you go to certain beaches, they're not very friendly. And
right.
if you go to other beaches, then it's totally fine. I'm curious. Like, I don't know. It'd be interesting to know.
You know, I want to check back in with her in 6 months and see. Because for one thing, I know their Spanish is going to be off the charts. But I think that would be really interesting to see, you know, after another 6 months of living in that culture, kind of where is your family and what are the big changes?
But yeah.
What a great adventure. And I love that she stressed, you know, we're not rolling in money. We had to figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
And it was important enough to us to figure it out.
If you want it enough, you can make it happen.
You can make anything happen. That is for darn sure. All right. How do we keep up with everybody on Instagram these days? We have a new Instagram for the podcast.
We do.
You'll find it at Dying to Ask Podcast.
Yeah. And you'll find me at Producer Jeff. With a G. There's some reviews that I've been noticing where it's like Jeff with a J, and I'm like, oh, okay, like that's
you should
a
be,
common
you should
mistake.
Be used to that at this point. And then you can find me on Instagram at RunReadSip. I'm on Facebook at KCRA Deirdre, and you'll find me on Twitter at KCRA Fitz. Thanks again to everybody who's been reviewing the podcast and sharing it. We sure appreciate it. Those ratings are like
candy.
They're like candy.
Yeah. Like some Halloween candy.
They're important. So thanks to everybody who's been sharing it around, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.